Welcome to Transformation with Martinet. Martinet Emmons is a transformational life coach who broke free from childhood abuse, sexual trauma, and overcame cancer to become a powerful force of healing and hope for others. Martinet describes traumatic events as fierce emotional tsunamis. They can leave impending doom and destructive tidal waves of emotions that hit you when you least expect it. Martinet helps her clients dive into the depths of their trauma and pain as she stands fiercely advocating for them to shine a light on those experiences and find the lesson in the pain. She serves as a beacon of hope that guides you to see the strength, lessons, and purpose that can be born from the pain. You can feel alive with purpose again when you awaken your dormant strength, step into your power with a sense of peace, and discover a new wave of hope with the right tools and support. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation to inspire you to find hope and to see that there is a beautiful blue ocean of serenity, happiness, and fulfillment in your future. Transformation with Martinet starts now.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome back to my show. For those of you that are new, this is Transformation with Martinet, where we overcome everything and compromise nothing. My show is every Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, and the show is about hope. The guests that I invite on my show is, well, they've all been through quite an ordeal in their life, but they are overcoming. They overcame it. They're thriving. And I want everybody to know that we as humans are resilient, and there is nothing you can't get back up from. I am proof. My guest today is proof. And for more information about this podcast, to be a guest and or my coaching services, www.martineemmons.com, MartineEmmons.com. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome my guest, Lauren Dolly Duke, who wrote a book, it is a bestseller already that just launched, and it is pretty darn amazing. I am not done, but almost there. Please introduce yourself a little bit better and tell us about you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. This is amazing.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it. And yeah, the book just launched on the 11th. So January 11th. Gosh, it's like so time is so weird right now. So 1-1-1,
that's
my launch date. And it's funny, my publisher chose that, but that was actually the launch date I wanted as well, because my birthday is 1-1 and like January 1st, and number one is a power number. And so, you know, we were kind of aligning the cosmos for the launch of the book as well. So, I worked on it for a 7-year period and, things take the time they take. And when you're writing a book, like I just wrote, you can't really rush, you know, the process of self-inquiry and examination and catharsis and healing. And it's been quite the journey, you know, quite the journey. And I own in Encinitas, California, in San Diego, I own a yoga studio and an education platform. And we host a lot of writing workshops as well, because, you know, really the foundation of yoga is built upon self-inquiry and, you know, the existential question, who am I, what am I, and, pondering our life's experiences and writing ultimately ended up just kind of being an evolution of my yoga process. And I currently live in Ojai, California, and, teach yoga here as well, and wrote a lot of the book here. And, it's been fun, you know, fun, and it's also a lot, you know, it's a lot, because there's so much coming in from, you know, from every angle, and you're putting, when you're writing something so personal to, you know, receive all the different sorts of feedback, it's a lot.
Right. I started my book a while ago. I'm not sure when I'll finish it.
Yeah.
But I committed this year to do an anthology, at least do that and start getting part of it out. But it is a journey.
Yeah.
It's like you really got to go deep.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing about, that's why writing is so healing, because I'm so glad I didn't put, you know, the first piece of work out there, which was like 2015, because it really, it's your first draft is really just you telling yourself the story. It's not really an examined story and, or an examined life, you know? And so like over the period of, you know, 7 years, I was really forced to, you know, dive in and deconstruct everything that happened to me. And also the characters who are in the story, and the characters are my family members. You know, these are my caregivers, and also, you know, some of the people that hurt me and let me down. And so, as you can imagine, you know, just having to look at those experiences, it's a lot. But when you're writing a book, it's like, and you're doing it over a long period of time, and you're taking it really seriously, it's like, you have to zoom out and really examine everyone and investigate everyone from a more holistic perspective. Mm-hmm. And that was what I really did. And what I saw, like, it really humanized the characters, my family members. And I really had to see the multidimensionality of the characters and what the characters had been through that they were basically just passing on to me. And so that was when I realized, like, oh my gosh, this is something, you know, this is something that I want to put out there in the world, because this really is about generational trauma. It's about learned beliefs and about those learned beliefs being passed on to me. And it's not even anyone's fault. This is just what we're all experiencing. But my own examination of it really helped me see the humanity in everyone. And it helped me forgive myself for the things I did and understand my own patterns and behaviors, and also my parents.
Right. Yeah. You know, this is a little bit more into your story, but yoga really is what changed your life, huh?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I took a yoga class when I was in high school and my teacher was Mrs. Olive, and I was the worst student ever because at that time, you know, I had so much happening inside of me, so much angst inside of me. There was not, I couldn't take it seriously. Like, not for 1 second could I be still with the things that were happening inside of me. And so that came out, you know, I projected that by being the class clown or by getting in trouble, or, you know, I was kind of a troublemaker because I was misled, you know? But after high school, I had this moment, I was like 19 and I took a yoga class, and it was really the first time that I could be with myself and kind of felt peaceful. And I realized I couldn't articulate it, but I was like, whoa, something's going on here, you know, and I need to follow the thread of this. And, and that is really the catalyst that changed my life.
Yeah. I think there was something, I think this is when you were living with the Mormons, or your roommate said something like, God, that class was weird. And you're kind of like, no, I kind of relate to the weird.
Yeah,
I do too. So yeah.
Yeah. And it's so interesting that you're bringing up kind of the first piece of the story is that, that dichotomy of living with, you know, those sort of people. And I, and that also is a big thing that I think helped me change my trajectory is, is being exposed to people who are living such a different life than me, you know? And I share that and reveal that earlier in the book with that boyfriend that I had, and really getting to witness being around a kind of quote unquote normal or healthy or more traditional kind of family structure. Yeah. And so that was, you know, part of that, like, yoga changed my life, but also I think a little earlier on having the exposure to different types of people and people in my community that were living differently than me, that gave me, you know, just having that exposure inspired me to at least recognize that there's hope. Like, oh, okay, this is what I'm used to, but it's not all like this. And maybe I can live like this, but I had to bridge the gap. And that was the yoga journey for me and the writing journey for me.
Right. Yeah. I remember reading that part of, I think it was like a Thanksgiving situation.
Yeah.
And yours was rather wild, but then you went to your boyfriend's house and they're asking you like, oh, so what was your holiday like? Oh, kind of like this.
Yeah.
So yeah. Just like, wow. Okay. There is something else. You know, I understand that.
Yeah. And I mean, I think part of the, hiding, like having to, for so long, I kind of hid the things that were going on inside my house. And And I think that's also why I, for so long, struggled with so much disease and toxicity and, mm-hmm. and shame, because mm-hmm. I was so ashamed of where I came from and some of the things that I had done to protect these people. And when you're just a kid, all you want is to belong. And it was very clear that I was not like the other people and I didn't belong. And so mm-hmm. in order to belong, I lied. And, you know, I think that's also like that kind of, you know, put a lot of holes in my infrastructure, like lying mm-hmm. about my life for so long and being right. ashamed. And, you know, part of the process of writing this book and sharing this story is that, you know, shame recovery really is about sharing, you know, sharing mm-hmm. with other people and getting really mm-hmm. honest with other people and recognizing that we're all just going through the same thing, you know, mm-hmm. because some people have been like I said, the feedback, it's intense. And I have, mm-hmm. you know, I've had some friends and they're like, it's really hard for me to read this. Like, why would you want to share mm-hmm. and recount these moments of your life? But like, these are really human moments. And a lot of people go through, you know, sexual trauma, abuse, psychological mm-hmm. abuse. And, yeah. I think we need to be able to talk about it because it's really the thread that connects us.
Yes.
You know, unless we stay silent about it, and then it's what isolates us.
Mm-hmm. Well, perfection, that's disconnecting. Vulnerability yeah. and sharing our stories is what connects. I think it's amazing. I talk about this with my clients quite a bit. It's like, you know, the more you share your story and you find out, the more there are like you.
Yeah.
You know? It is what heals. And, you know, there's something you wrote and I'm trying to think, abandoned by my only source of oxygen, my mom. Yeah. I remember feeling that way too.
Yeah.
Because nothing was done to protect me or to stop things from happening. And I look back now, it's like, what would she have done? She didn't know what to do. She wasn't as strong as me in some ways, you know?
Yeah.
So how did that feel to you? Like, because a mom, especially a father, of course, too, is really supposed to be there to protect her kids. How at that time did you feel about that?
Well, you know, it was interesting because I think that feeling all any of us want is to, like, our most primal kind of base need as animals, even before human beings, is mm-hmm. to be cared for and loved and taken care of. Because if mm-hmm. you're an animal in the wild and you're not cared for and you're not loved and you're ousted from, you know, the tribe or the family, you risk death. Mm-hmm. And so when you feel uncared for or you feel unloved, that ends up almost becoming that was like my baseline, you know, mm-hmm. I am not lovable. And that is a lot. I mean, mostly every person on planet Earth, the core wound is I am not lovable and I am not good enough. And because I felt unlovable and not good enough, I put myself in a lot of precarious situations. And I think mm-hmm. that this book gets more into, if you're really, you know, looking at it at a deeper level, like some of our social constructs. And for me, mm-hmm. I wasn't like a traditional ideal girl, you know, I didn't mm-hmm. come from money. I wasn't mm-hmm. educated. I, you know, and neither were my family members. And I, it's almost like I wasn't protected by my culture either, or mm-hmm. protected by my community. And, feeling unloved and acting in ways that reflect that, you know, I got myself into a lot of trouble and I put myself in a lot of situations that then ended up reinforcing how crappy I felt about myself. Mm-hmm. So that's what that does. You know, when you are not cared for by your primary, like we need that primary attunement from someone mm-hmm. and I didn't have it. And so it's like, I didn't have a compass, you know? And so mm-hmm. I was literally just like shooting arrows in the dark, trying to find anyone or anything that would pay attention to me or, you know, mm-hmm. confirm my existence in the world, because I didn't have that by my caregiver. And, you know, that ended up like shattering my self-esteem and my self-confidence. And a lot of my actions, in my teenage years and in my 20s, were based on this false narrative that I had about myself, that I wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. And it's so damaging. Like, not being cared for by your caregiver is really damaging. You know, we spend the rest of our lives putting ourselves back together.
That's absolutely true. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk more about your story and how you started to heal.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone. We'll be right back.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today.
Clara's Hope is a nonprofit organization that helps local foster and adoptive Michigan families in Genesee and Livingston counties achieve success. These families say yes to bringing kids into their homes who need safety and security. Clara's Hope is hosting their 8th annual virtual auction in February and would love for you to attend. Donations and sponsors are needed to make the auction a huge success. Visit clarashope.org for details.
You've been looking, searching for your purpose. You desire change, but don't know what to do. There is an amazing teacher sitting right there, waiting for you to realize you can do this. You sense it is time. Take that first step. Your dog is ready to show you more. You are ready to listen and start to remember. Remember who you are. Visit www.dogsandmen.com to continue your journey.
Miriam Matthews is a purpose-driven life coach. As a result of her transformational program, women have deeper relationships with God, are more authentically themselves, and have found clarity in their purpose. If you're tired of struggling with your faith and people-pleasing behaviors, check out Miriam's free guide about prayer, fasting, and purpose. Give yourself permission to unleash your undeniable impact. You can retrieve this free gift from bonus.defineyourdna.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet, where we overcome everything and compromise nothing. My guest today is Lauren Dolly Duke, and we have been talking about her book called Shit House.
Oh, yeah. You can say it. Right.
We can say it. I wasn't sure. I checked. Okay. So I just want to make a comment just because I know we talked about this a little bit, but the more I read into your book, it's like, God, it blows my mind how, as a young person, you are out there at Moss Beach Distillery, where it's haunted and all this. And I've been there, and I've been to that restaurant and kind of gotten a taste of the haunted per se. We won't go into that, but I have. And I just find it, you know, cause I got remarried in 2012 in Half Moon Bay. So I just think, God, it's a small world, isn't it?
Well, and it's so fascinating too. Like, I could have never imagined, so many people from my like hometown. I mean, there is just, I'm just having so many blasts from the past right now. People just reaching out to me left and right, because I don't think anyone from up there has really ever written a book. And mm-hmm. to see so many iconic kind of coastside and California landmarks, you know, mm-hmm. in the book, I think is really fun for people. But I also think that like, people are reading it almost like searching for clues to themselves, because mm-hmm. it's not really just about, I mean, it is, it's about Pacifica and Half Moon Bay and kind of the, you know, small coastside zone, but it's really also about anywhere, small town USA, you know, mm-hmm. growing up in a small town and And some of the things that happened to us, you know, as a result of just growing up in a small town and being bored and getting into trouble. And,
right.
And so I think a lot of people can, you know, relate to the deviance and the, you know, being a nuisance and the drugs mm-hmm. and the, you know, just getting in trouble. And, so it's been very fascinating to, like witness and entertain and engage these conversations with so many people that I grew up with who were like, wow, we were all kind of feeling the same thing, but none of us knew how to talk about it. You know, a lot of us were experiencing the same thing and you're finally just putting it on paper. Thank you so much. You know, again, like, wow, you're confirming my experience and making me realize that I didn't just make that up and that I'm not alone in this.
Right. That's the thing. It's that connection and sharing our stories. You know, it permits you writing this book permits others to share their story as well.
Yeah. And I mean that it is like our willingness to our healing really does like depend on our own willingness to like dig deep inside mm-hmm. and yank out the truth and share it with people. You know, I was just saying last night, it's like for most of us, there's this scene in the book and I had this boyfriend and the boyfriend went away to Haines, Alaska and didn't take me. And it triggered mm-hmm. like my deepest, you know, I am not good enough. I've been abandoned. Yes. And he asked me to stay and watch his weed plants. Do you remember this part?
In the I do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so there's this scene and I like basically am driven crazy. I'm like throwing his plants off the deck and there's something, mm-hmm. I don't even know why I'm doing what I'm doing. I like break all the stuff in his room and throw his drums around. And afterwards I'm like standing in the middle of this like disastrous pile and I don't even know why I've done any of it. And that really mm-hmm. was like, I think that was my first, like all of my emotions and the things that had happened to me and my traumas and my negativity and my rage, like all of it was displaced and I had mm-hmm. displaced it on, you know, to this person and projected it, you know, on all of the stuff in his room. And when I was standing there and I didn't feel any better after this, obviously, you know, it was very mm-hmm. destructive, not just for the physical environment, but for me, mm-hmm. But I was standing there and I think that that was like in the middle of this like shit house basically. And I you know, that was kind of my first moment of realization. I was like 23 years old and I'm like, oh my gosh, too much is happening inside of me and I don't even understand it. I'm like a shaken up snow globe and all the stuff swirling around me are all right. my experiences that are disorganized. And I need to find coherence. And so that was like also a big motivating factor for, you know, my yoga path, which ultimately mm-hmm. ended up putting me on the writing path, was really just to understand myself and to mm-hmm. understand the things that had happened to me, make sense of my, you know, of my own life. So I wasn't living in this disorganized, chaotic reality where I wasn't even in the driver's seat of my own life.
Right.
You know,
right. Yeah. That's very, that's something, I've done a lot of work around not only my own, but helping other people with, you know, you need to be the one that's in the, you need to be in that driver's seat of your own life, of course. Right.
Well, and absolutely. And yeah.
Yes. But we sometimes either don't feel worthy enough or don't feel like we have it in us to take charge of our own life.
Well, and that, I mean, that is why the main message of the book really is, examine your life. Mm-hmm. That is it. Mm-hmm. It is, sure there's, you know, lots of different themes in the book, but for me, like that's what I really want people to take away from the mm-hmm. book is recognizing, that an examined life is like really a life worth living, you know, really mm-hmm. making meaning out of your experiences and understanding yourself on a deeper level, why you've done the things that you've done, mm-hmm. being more compassionate to yourself and ultimately others, you know, because that really mm-hmm. was my whole, like the whole constellation of my journey with writing the book is examining myself, examining all of the characters and recognizing mm-hmm. like, we're all a little broken, you know, and mm-hmm. we've all done some things that we're not proud of. And mostly everything that we've learned we've just, it's all learned behavior. It's all social mm-hmm. constructs. And when you can see that, it's almost like there's no one to blame. You know, I'm not mad at my parents anymore. I'm not, you mm-hmm. know, and it just feels so good to be, you know, in that place where I'm not suffering anymore. And that is, mm-hmm. that is why people need to dig deep and, you know, examine their own life and the things that have happened to them and the people who've played a role, because mm-hmm. on the other side of that is forgiveness for not only you, but for all of these people who've played the part.
Right. And forgiveness and compassion for what they went through too.
That's what I mean.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I remember that I was a paralegal in my corporate life before doing what I do now. And I remember I was really blessed to have a boss who we did meditation a lot. We did a lot of spiritual, metaphysical type work. And, you know, we went to this fancy restaurant at lunch one time or whatever. He invited one of his friends and he just asked me, his friend, he goes, "Have you forgiven the people in your life?" Yeah. And I said, "Yeah, of course I did." And shaking my head like a no.
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it's like, that was such a poignant part of my journey. Like, oh, okay. I thought I did, but I didn't. And that's when I had to really go in there and, you know, look. Or one of the things I have on my website too is like, sometimes we get gifts wrapped in sandpaper.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to open them up and they're not, it's not pretty and it doesn't feel good.
Yes.
But yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, I just wrote this thing down yesterday that that was kind of like my insight and my epiphany, but I was thinking that our human experiences and our grievances, they aren't our graves, but rather they are our gifts to give. Mm-hmm. And I mean that, like everything that I have been through, I relate to people, like I can hold anything, you know, mm-hmm. anyone can tell me anything and I can hold it and be in the space with someone and not be uncomfortable and mm-hmm. really just be able to share space on, you know, what it's like to be a human, because right. it's incredibly joyous and effed up, you
yes.
know, and I think we need to be able to like hold the space for the whole complex, you know, system that we're all feeling all the time as, mm-hmm. as human beings. And I think it's so interesting, you know, my area of study of is somatics. I did the somatic mm-hmm. experiencing training mm-hmm. and so it's so fascinating. Like the body is always telling the truth. And so if mm-hmm. you're like, yeah, I've done the work, but your head is shaking no. I mean, that was also right. kind of part of the beginning journeys for me as well, is like I physically, my body was asking to be paid attention to. I was mm-hmm. having all sorts of stress, mm-hmm. disease, all these ailments were manifesting in my physical body because what was happening to me emotionally, spiritually, and psychologically was out of whack,
mm-hmm.
you know? And we have to integrate that in somatic experience and we call it coherence, you know, where everything is aligned, like, and mm-hmm. makes sense. And that is what I found through writing the book. Not just writing the book though, but going through therapy and finding all of these structures of support as I was mm-hmm. writing the book to be able to help me make sense of and accept all and understand all of the things that, you know, that happened. And it's really fascinating because on the other side of writing the book, I don't have, well, one, I had PTSD and those symptoms, mm-hmm. I don't have them anymore. I had all a chronic, like really bad stomach condition that manifested in all sorts of ways with my digestive system gone mm-hmm. because that gut brain connection, you know,
right.
the vagus nerve is real. What is happening here is affecting your gut. What is happening in your gut is affecting your mind.
Yeah.
So it's just been so fascinating. And I wish I could just be like, the book is just about this, but it's like, there's so much.
There's so much in there. Yeah. I so relate to that. I fully believe colon cancer was the effect of my upbringing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It manifests in all different kinds of different ways.
Yeah. You know? And yeah. I hope that becomes more of a mainstream conversation, you know?
Mm-hmm. I
separate, like this is an isolated incident that has nothing to do with, you know, the things that happened to you. This is something that happened outside of you and came in, but yeah. really I believe that the things that we're going through in our lives that are also unresolved are creating these diseases.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I fully agree. And not everybody's with us, but I hope eventually that comes around.
Yeah.
It's that whole mind, body, spirit connection. Because I there was a time I just kind of thought my body was my body, you know, or whatever. I didn't think that it mattered so much. It wasn't until I really started tuning in, like, oh, she's trying to tell me something here.
Yeah. 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 And I think we're getting closer. I think that is, you know, maybe more old guard thinking. And mm-hmm. I'm hoping that we're like my generation, the millennial generation, they call mm-hmm. us like the therapy generation or the wealth generation, because we're all trying to undo what our, you know, boomer parents did to us, because what mm-hmm. was normal for them, they're just passing it on to us. Again, that comes back to that generational trauma piece.
Absolutely.
But I do think that, you know, my generation and a lot of people in the X generation above me, mm-hmm. is it X or Z?
I know I'm right above you. I'm not.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think a lot of that generation as well is kind of catching on, like, oh, mm-hmm. there is so much more happening. You know, we are of the body, you know, we can't separate. That's why I think so many, like people who've been in CBT, cognitive behavioral mm-hmm. therapy mm-hmm. for a really long time, it's almost like a lot of these people aren't getting better. Right. And because you're just talking around the content of the story, but not actually addressing it holistically, which is like, mm-hmm. well, how is it also playing out in your body?
Right. Oh, you know. Yeah, that's such an important factor. Oh my gosh, yes. So we're going to take a little break and then we'll come back and talk more about your book and whatever else comes up.
Yeah, exactly.
Real, raw, authentic conversation. Thank you, everyone. We'll be right back.
Miriam Matthews is a purpose-driven life coach. As a result of her transformational program, women have deeper relationships with God, are more authentically themselves, and have found clarity in their purpose. If you're tired of struggling with your faith and people-pleasing behaviors, check out Miriam's free guide about prayer, fasting, and purpose. Give yourself permission to unleash your undeniable impact. You can retrieve this free gift from bonus.defineyourdna.com.
You've been looking. Searching for your purpose. You desire change but don't know what to do. There is an amazing teacher sitting right there waiting for you to realize you can do this. You sense it is time. Take that first step. Your dog is ready to show you more. You are ready to listen and start to remember. Remember who you are. Visit www.dogsandmen.com to continue your journey.
Clara's Hope is a nonprofit organization that helps local foster and adoptive Michigan families in Genesee and Livingston counties achieve success. These families say yes to bringing kids into their homes who need safety and security. Clara's Hope is hosting their 8th annual virtual auction in February and would love for you to attend. Donations and sponsors are needed to make the auction a huge success. Visit clarashope.org for details.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today.
Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet, where we overcome everything and compromise nothing. My guest today is Lauren Dolly Duke, and we've been talking about her book, Shit House. It is a very good book. It's definitely going to make you think about your own life and examining your own life, which is what we've been talking about. So, Lauren, do you mind, like, we haven't really talked about it, but kind of given us a synopsis of your life, just so readers kind of know that are going to go and purchase your book?
Wow.
I know that's hard.
Well, so I grew up in a little town in Pacifica, California, on a place called Pedro Point. And my family members, my mom, you know, she was a single mom, but then there was kind of men, you know, in and out, a lot of addiction. My father robbed a bank. My stepfather was an alcoholic. Father went to prison for robbing the bank, got out when I was 14 years old, lived in my basement. And that is why the book is called Shithouse, because he called the basement the shithouse. But the interesting thing is about that, like when the first time that I showed him, you know, he came in and he's like, okay, well, show me where I'm going to be sleeping. And my mom had said, he's going to be living downstairs in the basement. Right. And when I brought him down there, you know, it was dark and dingy and cobwebs. And there's this whole scene where we're kind of like, you know, climbing through the dingy. I think I said it was kind of like a dirty mine shaft or something.
Yeah,
where the washing machine and dryer was down there. But he made this comment about like, well, this is such a shit house. And I was like, well, what do you expect? You know, we're shitty people. And he was basically making the comment that like, it's really uncared for and it's, but it's still a part of your house. And if it's a part of your house, you should care for it. And what he was really talking about is that we still need to care for the places that are in the dark, you know, that was like symbolism. And so that ends up kind of being one of the, you know, the threads throughout the entire book is really taking a look at my own shadows and you know, from the time that I'm a little child all the way through, you know, finding the, you know, my way and my own insight through the path of yoga and writing and starting a business and ultimately love. So, you know, it's definitely like a book of hope and resilience. And there's a lot of crazy side stories and, you know, like along the way that I think are heavy and also entertaining. You know, so I think there's at least I attempted to, because when you're writing about such heavy material, like you have to also find the light, and that's a part of the writing process as well. And I worked with a lot of editors to balance out, because it's really easy to remember, you know, the traumatic moments in our life, they take more from us. They take more energy, electricity, hormones. It's called the negativity bias. So it's really easy to remember all the bad things that happen, but in order to kind of balance out the flavor of the book, you also have to integrate in there those, you know, those light moments. So, I hope that translated.
Yeah, I think so. It's like, and a lot, you know, your dad in a lot of ways, I mean, you did seem to have some fun with him. I mean, he wanted adventure for sure. The time he brought you and your sister to buy cars.
Wow. Yeah. So those are my favorite chapters of the entire book. And for me, I think they're the richest, and also, you know, there's so much there, because what you start to see through the characters in my story, who are my family members, are there's not really any good or bad. And, and I tried to show the, you know, the complexity of the characters and kind of, you know, why they did the things they did. So they were more humanized and understandable, rather than like, well, he was in prison, so he's a bad person, or he robbed this bank, and so he's a bad person. It's more like, it's more complicated and nuanced. And I didn't even get into, you know, the bigger story. My father was adopted into the David Duke family, and David Duke is the leader of the KKK. And that, my last name is Duke. So, you know, there was a lot that happened to him that built, you know, what he became. And, I could have easily taken all of that on as my own identity. And instead I chose another path, but yeah, like stealing the cars. I mean, and these are the things that are so crazy, because we'll do anything to when you don't know, you'll do anything to protect your family members. It's like, we kind of knew what was going on in that situation, but at the same time, we didn't want to believe it. Like we were stuck in these two realities. And the one reality was like the reality, like this is shady. This is, and the other reality is like wanting it to be a dream and a fairy tale. And like, we're going to be a happy family. And he is really actually buying us these cars. And for the first time, we're going to have something new and nice, something that we could have never imagined. And we really wanted to hold on to that dream, you know, even though it's Shay Day.
Right. And I remember just like it, at the point where your car gets repossessed from you, I'm like scared for you. Yeah. You know, in that moment when those guys come, you know, and, oh, you knew what was going on. It's like, oh, but she's still a little girl, you know, it's.
Yeah. You know, what's so fascinating is that at that time I was working at the Chart House, and a lot of people that I worked with remembered that, like, now that they're reading the book, they're like, oh my God, I remember that. And I, during that time, I, was so ashamed of that happening publicly and people witnessing that, that I never processed it. I tried to move through it is, oh no, it's fine. It's fine. You know, do this thing. It's fine. And, because I was so ashamed, you know, and of being humiliated like that at such a young, you know, whatever, I was 15 years old. I wasn't even old enough to be driving a car. Again, I was like stuck between these two worlds where I had this car and I was, you know, for the first time, like I was in this, like something nice. I had something nice and it had been gifted to me. And it was something that other people didn't even have. And I felt so special. And then on the other side, it was like, it is so shady that you have this car. This isn't even, this is against the law. It's, you know, my dad ended up pulling the money out of the bank account, that he had stolen from someone else after we left the car lot. So, anyway, it's just all of it is a really, I think even like, especially that part is really hard for people to wrap their brain around.
Right. Or even you guys like driving and following each other, and then you and your sister and then your dad goes off somewhere else, but it's like, well, we're going to get this done. We're going to do it. I gotta go with it.
Yeah. And you know? That's what I mean. It's like, we're, but I also think that's why so many people stay sick is because they want so desperately for the illusion to be real. And so they don't step into reality. And that was, you know, for me, that was my motivation for writing this book is like, I needed to step into reality. I needed to process my experience. So that way I could get better.
Right.
Because without it, I wasn't going to get better. And it's funny because my sister, sorry, I just had some bubbly water, but my sister and, you know, my publicist, they're like, okay, so, you know, what's the big vision? Like, now you have everyone's attention. Like, where do you want to drive them? Like, into your next course, buy your next book. I'm like, I just want to lead people to themselves. This is not about leading people into buying my, you know, next book or paying for my course or being coached by me to write their book. No, this really is about eliminating, like helping people, inspiring people to do their own self-inquiry and self-examination and investigation of, you know, the whole matrix of their life. And in order to understand, better understand themselves and to forgive themselves and also the people who've played a role in the things that have happened to them, because what I feel on the other side of this, where I really understand and have organized my reality, my psychology, my past, like, I'm not suffering anymore and I'm not angry at everyone. And I recognized that our resolutions are inside of ourself, you know, like our resolutions are our responsibility. And that is what I wish for people, because on the other side of doing all of this work, to feel how light I feel and how much better I feel and how much healthier I feel is what I want for everyone. And everyone deserves it. It's like our, it's like the original gift that we've been given before we do all of these things to basically torture ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And especially the forgiveness, you know, piece of our family members, because as long as we're holding on to, you know, all the things like the rage and the resentment and the anger and, you know, whatever it is that we're pissed off about, like all of that is just making us sick.
Right. 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 We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and talk some more about all this good stuff. We'll be right back, everyone. Thank you.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today.
You've been looking, searching for your purpose. You desire change but don't know what to do. There is an amazing teacher sitting right there, waiting for you to realize you can do this. You sense it is time. Take that first step. Your dog is ready to show you more. You are ready to listen and start to remember. Remember who you are. Visit www.dogsandmen.com to continue your journey.
Miriam Matthews is a purpose-driven life coach. As a result of her transformational program, women have deeper relationships with God, are more authentically themselves, and have found clarity in their purpose. If you're tired of struggling with your faith and people-pleasing behaviors, check out Miriam's free guide about prayer, fasting, and purpose. Give yourself permission to unleash your undeniable impact. You can retrieve this free gift from bonus.defineyourdna.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet, where we overcome everything and compromise nothing. My guest today has been Lauren Dolly Duke, and we have been talking about her book, Shit House. So, Lauren, before we go into anything else, where can people find you besides finding your book, which I assume is everywhere?
Yeah. So the book is, in all the major retailers. So Amazon, mm-hmm. Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart. Mm-hmm. Goodreads. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of independent bookstores are also carrying it, which is awesome because I didn't really mm-hmm. know. I went through an independent press and I didn't until the book came out, I didn't really know what independent bookstores were picking it up. But it was so cool to mm-hmm. Google the book and my name and to see all of these independent yeah. bookstores picking it up. So one of the things that people are doing as well is to support local bookstores, they're actually going to the bookstore. And if the bookstore isn't carrying it, they're just asking them to order it. So that's a good way also. That's great
for me
as well. And it's great for, you know, the independent bookstores. Also, people can find me on my website. It's laurendollyduke.com. And Dolly is spelled mm-hmm. I-E. Then my Instagram, I'm pretty active on my Instagram, just kind of sharing, like for me, first and foremost, I am an educator, especially around the nervous system. That's kind of mm-hmm. like my big work that I've been doing. And, I share a lot of, you know, information about, the mind, body, spirit connection mm-hmm. on my Instagram. And my Instagram is, Dolly Duke, D-O-L-L-I-E Duke 83. So people can find me there as well.
Awesome. That's so good. And I love the fact that people are asking the smaller bookstores to order.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Me too. Mm-hmm. And it's a good, it's really a great way to get them to be curious about the book. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Because
for sure.
not every store is just going to pick it up. But mm-hmm. if someone comes in and is like, hey, I want to get this book, then they look at it. And that's actually a they look at it, they find it interesting, or they really like the cover. And mm-hmm. the cover was something very specific. It was a very, my really good friend who's a very well-known artist. Yeah, her name is Daniela Manini, and she's a Peruvian artist, and she actually drew that house. And if you look up close on that house, there's all sorts of little designs. There's eyes, there's a lot of symbolism in that. And, you know, that is, we tried to make it like we basically tried to like break the house, but at the same time, if you look up close, you'll see that there's like a piece of like grass or a flower like growing out mm-hmm. of the side of the house. So no matter yeah. the symbolism there is like, no matter, you know, how dark and dingy and broken things seem on the outside, like there's mm-hmm. always life and vitality yes. and humanity below that.
Oh yes. So much and, yes to that.
Yeah. So that was like, you know, it didn't take us, her and I, she's known me for a very long time, even before I started writing this book, and she knows mm-hmm. My family members. And it was really a cool project to do that with her, because we were able, mm-hmm. Because we know each other so well, we were literally able to like dial the cover out in a very short period of time. And normally publishers don't really let the artist or the writer choose, you know, the cover of the book, but she was such a well-known artist and she'd already done multiple book covers and multiple illustrations. So it just like worked out perfectly that we were able to do that together.
Oh,
and
we did it
in like an hour, but also we had already known each other for like 10 years. So it was like a 10 year process that we were able to distill in an hour, because we had we had known each other for a long time.
Yeah. That's super cool. Cause I know when your publicist came to me, I'm like, oh, the book, just the title is what grabbed me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah. That's definitely perfect for my show. I can tell that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's a metaphor too. It's like, no matter what,
sure.
like we all at some point live in a shit house, and it's just mm-hmm. like the cover.
No doubt about it.
No matter what it is like out here or what's going on, there is still mm-hmm. so much more below the surface that, you know, is worth looking at, and it's mm-hmm. it's our humanity. So that was kind of that's why I titled the book Shit House. And also mm-hmm. it's like I again, for me, there's a lot of symbolism, but I also think it's captivating. And I think the cover art mm-hmm. is captivating. I mean, we chose even the matte cover and the way that the paper feels like,
yeah,
it's basically, it's a piece of art like us,
mm-hmm.
you know,
that's nice.
Yeah.
That I really like that. Yeah, that's for sure. So what, I don't know if we have time to touch on it, but something you said, like, I just think it's really important if we touch on just for a minute or so. I know so many of the clients I work, so many of the people that come to me because of the show name and all that, they deal with shame. And you said like, each time someone pretended I didn't exist, I built another wall of shame. Mm-hmm. So how did you, besides yoga and I guess diving in, how would you tell someone else to start chipping away at theirs? Like what would you ask them to do or recommend they do?
Well, I recommend that they do some shame work and mm-hmm. actually go through therapy, because mm-hmm. it's really a belief system. And, you know, it's something that you learn, and it's a false belief system. And that mm-hmm. was, again, that's what I, one of the bigger things that I was saying in this book, there's a lot of, you know, social constructs, like this is mm-hmm. what we have learned about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And, the things that we go through, you know, they build us, but they don't define us. And sometimes what we have to do is we have to work with someone else to get mm-hmm. them to help us see that. And so, you know, I was in trauma therapy. I was working with a shame therapist. Like mm-hmm. what I had to do is have someone else basically lay out how I ultimately could have made some of the decisions that I made that made me feel unlovable, mm-hmm. which is not true. It was a false belief system. And so I basically had to work with someone to dismantle that. But, mm-hmm. you know, at who we become, we've built. And if we've built it, we can also tear it down. And that was what I saw when I started, you know, doing therapy and a lot of, you know, of my own personal investigation. Like if you live in a house and your house is basically falling down, you even these belief systems like shame, you know, it's just, it, these are toxic basically. But like, if you're living in a house and your house isn't, is falling apart, what are you going to do? You're going to go to the foundation. And so when I went to the foundation, and that is like looking at where these belief systems came from, which is my mother, and she got them from her mother, I started to realize like, oh my God, my foundation is basically made out of like oatmeal, you know, it's silly putty basically. And so I realized that pretty much everything I had been taught was a lie. And if that was what was true, then I could rebuild it. I had to tear it all down. If I had learned it, I can unlearn it. And now I have to relearn something new. And that's what it's really all about. That's this work.
Yes. Yes. And I don't believe we can do it alone, as I can tell you don't either. It starts with therapy. And then to me, it's coaching after that. You need
both. It's a lifetime, you know, it's a lifetime of kind of burdening ourselves from these things that we've believed that aren't actually true. You know, it's like you start to realize that your whole reality is a lie, you know, and that was my experience. And that is also another thing that I want people to recognize through, like, that is a big message, you know, for me is like these belief systems, they're not real. They're socially constructed. If they're socially constructed and they've been built by our culture, we can tear them down and rebuild and build something that is, you know, that actually gives us more of a capacity to thrive rather than stay small.
Right. Yeah. Cause we're meant to thrive.
Yeah,
we are. It takes us a while to get there, to see that, especially if we've been through things that we have. Yeah. But we are meant to thrive. And I see that you found that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I know we've only got another minute, but like what is your life like today?
Oh man, I am in a really beautiful marriage, and my husband, I think that was a big piece of my healing journey, was letting someone very different love me, trying something new. This is super out of my comfort zone, and is still not so much now, but it's we've been together 9 years, and I think because of him and finally having my first safe attachment of my entire life, I really have been able to do a lot of work on myself. Pretty stable. I live like in the country. There's horses around, and I try to just keep my life organized and not chaotic.
You know, create
good conditions for me to thrive physically and mentally, and not continuing to put myself in toxic situations like I did when I was young.
God, yeah, I think that's beautiful. So I wish we could keep talking. I really do, because there's so much more I could say and ask and do and everything. But thank you so much for coming on. And I wish you tremendous success. And I hope that you keep in touch. And maybe I'll meet you up and somewhere in Cali someday.
Ojai or the Moss Beach Distillery, girl.
Oh, hey, that's perfect. I'm going in March, by the way.
Amazing.
Okay. Thank you so much, everyone. And we'll see you next week, 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern every Friday. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Transformation with Martinet. Did listening today spark a sense of hope and possibility? Hold on to this feeling and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific for more inspiring conversations with Martinet and her guests. They will show you there is hope and you are right where you need to be. Martinet is dedicated to supporting you right where you are while launching you towards promise, passion, and possibility that leads to the fulfilled life your heart aches for. If you're tired of being stuck, schedule a complimentary consultation with Martinet and get on the exciting path towards the life you want to be living. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.